Hello everyone, and a very warm welcome back to your local talking newspaper. This is edition number 1666 of the Sid Vale and East Devon talking newspaper, being recorded at our new home, that's the Lee Brown Room in the Unitarian Chapel, Sidmouth, on Tuesday, September the 15th. And I'm Graham Maliband, this week's editor. Now, our last recording, prior to having to suspend our service because of the pandemic, was in mid-March. So we thought you might find it interesting to know something of what's been going on since then. Much of the news has, of course, been COVID-related, but plenty of other things have been going on too. So we tried to summarise many of these stories chronologically by location in this look back over the last 6 months. To the present, sunrise is at about 10 to 7 in the morning, so curtains could be opened at any time after that and closed any time around sunset, which is at about 7:30 in the evening. Helping me to bring this edition to you today are Annette Cross and Paula Hughes, and our producers are Dawn Steele and Peter Eagles. We begin our news coverage in Sidmouth before heading to Axminster, Colliton and Beer. Then our travels take us to Honiton, Seaton and Newton Poppleford before we complete our journey with news from Ottery St Mary and a roundup of some general items from across East Devon. So plenty to get through, and here to set the ball rolling is Paula.
Hello, I'm Paula with the first of the Sidmouth News. The old Alma Bridge, which provides access to East Beach, was sealed off after an unprecedented number of cliff falls. New ramps, columns and abutments parapets were built in June, and the new footbridge was lifted into place on July the 1st. Work is due to be completed later in the summer with the fitting of handrails, lighting and fencing, together with surfacing and pathwork. There have also been a number of cliff falls in the vicinity of the bridge. In early April, coastal erosion saw a massive fall that blocked the beach between Sidmouth and Branscombe at Westonmouth, and Monday, April the 13th, saw another cliff fall on East Beach. Two further falls took place on East Beach in late May, together with one at Jacob's Ladder, and they were followed by further falls there in June and August. EDDC had revealed that it will be receiving over £1 million from government to bridge the funding gap and ensure that the town's £8.7 million beach management plan comes to fruition. The work to protect Sidmouth's crumbling cliffs and to improve flood defences will qualify for the extra money following changes to the eligibility for flood and coastal risk projects. The grant will need DEFRA's approval before the project team can seek planning permission approval for the construction. The plan involves work to maintain the seafront defences, to upgrade the western wall of the River Sid, and to reduce the rate of beach and cliff erosion at each beach. The project also includes the importation of shingle to the beach. However, the work is expected to be at least 2 years away. An EDDC spokesperson said that the main reason for the cliff falls is the prolonged dry weather which followed the wettest February on record. Sidmouth resident Peter McGawley was awarded the Papal Cross for distinguished service to the Catholic Church. The award was presented to him by the Bishop of Plymouth, and tributes were paid to Mr. Joe Daniels, who lived in Sidmouth for many years and who died aged 108 on April the 17th. More recently, he was a resident at Netherhays Care Home, Seaton. In early May, arsonists destroyed a dog ban sign on Jacob's Ladder Beach. Sidmouth, Seaton and Beer beaches all have dog exclusion areas from May 1st to September the 30th. And a number of local residents had asked if the public space protection order could have been suspended during lockdown. historic Sidmouth Hotel, the Sid Home, has been put up for sale. It's been marketed by the property firm Savills, which is inviting offers over £1.9 million. A group hoping to buy the hotel, the Save Sidmouth's Hidden Gem Group, believes the hotel has great potential for development into a centre of excellence for art, music and culture for the whole of the South West. It could also be used as a venue for weddings, conferences, charity functions and other events. The group set itself a fundraising target of £2 million, but had to abandon its campaign in August, having failed to meet its target. Gertrude Topsy Hindley, who set up the Sidmouth Animal Welfare and Animal Rescue Centre in 1972, and who now lives in Arcot House Care Home, celebrated her 108th birthday in May. She always maintained the secret to her long life was that she had never watched TV, but she has now taken to watching video clips of her favourite animals, dogs. A D-Day hero who helped liberate the Belsen concentration camp was laid to rest in May. John Gardiner from Sidmouth fought in the Battle of the Bulge in the Ardennes Forest in Belgium to help turn back Hitler's last major offensive in World War II, before, in March 1945, being flown by a glider 50 miles behind German lines to help to secure strategic river bridges as part of Operation Varsity. His unit made its way across Germany towards the Baltic coast before coming across the horrors of Bergen-Belsen. Mr. Gardner and a senior officer were the first Allied soldiers to enter the notorious camp after the guards had fled. A new group has been set up to celebrate and enrich Sid Valley wildlife. The Sid Valley Biodiversity Group is hoping to attract members with a passion for wildlife. Spokesman Charles Sinclair said, "The aims of the group are to understand and record what is most valuable about the wildlife in the Sid Valley. We will undertake extensive new surveys in our gardens, in the parks and on the cliffs, the shore, on the heathland, the woodlands, farmland and, of course, the River Sid." Sidmouth was partially pedestrianised from June 22nd as part of a plan to show that the town is safe and open for business. There are parking restrictions in Fore Street, whilst Old Fore Street, New Street, Market Place and Church Street are closed to traffic, except for access between 11 and 5 p.m. The restrictions will be lifted on September the 30th. Town Council Chairman Ian Barlow said, "A lot of work and money has gone into prioritising spacious public areas by closing roads," and that he was surprised how few traders were making use of that space.
Hello, Annette here with the rest of the Sidmouth News. It is hoped that a crowdfunding campaign will assure the long-term future of Sidmouth Folk Festival, which was called off this year for the first time in 65 years. An array of rewards pledged by artists, organisers and supporters will be given in return for donations. Donors' names will also go on to a champions wall in the town. By late July, the appeal had raised £75,000 and is aiming to raise £90,000 to ensure the festival's future next year and beyond. Large gatherings on Clifton Beach prompted Councillor Stuart Hughes to call for new bylaws clamping down on antisocial behaviour. Groups of up to 100 people have been using portable barbecues, lighting fires, drinking alcohol and playing loud music. An East Devon District Council spokesman said that since bylaws would require an increased police presence to control and administer, the council is not convinced they are appropriate tools for dealing with occasional gatherings at most of East Devon's beaches. Sidmouth came to a halt on July the 6th when friends and colleagues lined the streets to say farewell to the Reverend Robin Laird, who died at the beginning of June. It was a fitting tribute to someone who'd touched the lives of many people in the 20-plus years that he'd lived here. Robin had joined the army as a chaplain in 1968, and after a series of postings to Hong Kong, Nepal, Bahrain, Germany, the Falklands, and around the UK, he was appointed Queen's Honorary Chaplain in 1990. He retired from the army in 1993, and following a spell as chaplain of Sedbergh School in Cumbria, he finally settled in Sidmouth with his wife Carol. He became heavily involved in charity work for, amongst others, the Abbeyfield Society, Sidmouth Hospital Comforts Fund, the Royal British Legion, and our talking newspaper. One of Sidmouth's best-loved floral displays made a comeback. The 3D peacock with its luxuriant trail of flowers appeared in Blackmore Gardens, thanks to Sidmouth in Bloom volunteers. Another favourite floral figure, Tom the Gardener, who made his debut in Sidmouth in 2013, returned on loan from Regent's Park in London. After a meeting of the East Devon District Council Highways Committee on July the 10th, Councillor Stuart Hughes expressed his frustration that nothing will be done to prevent an increase in heavy goods traffic through Sidford and Sidbury till after the planned Sidford Business Park is built. The views of patients at a Sidmouth GP practice were sought about plans to extend one of its sites and to relocate the other. The practice announced plans to extend the Beacon Centre with extra consulting rooms, a minor injury unit, operating theatres, training rooms, and facilities for pharmacists, a physiotherapist, and researchers. The Blackmore surgery in the town centre would be moved to two designated rooms at the Victoria Hospital, with other rooms to be available as needed. Partner Dr. Joe Steich said the changes would allow the practice to expand its range of services, increase capacity to meet future needs, and recruit more doctors and nurses. A Sidmouth man, James Salter, has completed an astonishing feat of cycling endurance by climbing the equivalent height of Mount Everest in one gruelling 24-hour ride. He undertook the Everesting Challenge by riding up Sidbury Hill 51 times, a distance of more than 186 miles. His achievement has so far raised more than £2,000 for the Multiple Sclerosis Society. Warm tributes were paid to one of Sidmouth's most influential residents, the Reverend Handel Bennett, who died aged 86 at home on July 10th. Reverend Bennett was chairman and president of the Sid Vale Association. Chairman of the Town Council, Ian Barlow, said Handel Bennett had been formidable in what he achieved and a great asset to the town. Sidmouth Parish Church has a new vicar at long last. Reverend Matt Selman was licensed by the Bishop of Exeter at a service at the church on August the 5th. Along with Reverend Prebendary Ken Mathers, who will have a role across the mission community. And it's a family affair, because the Reverend Selman's wife Laura is the new team vicar for Sidbury, Sidford and Walbrook. The couple have moved into the area from Suffolk with their two young children. Sidmouth's ambulance station has moved from its base at the fire station to a new premises off the A3052 near the Donkey Sanctuary. The relocation is part of a £12 million project to reduce waiting times across the South West. A spokesperson said that the town centre site was too small after an extra ambulance came into service for the Sidmouth and Seaton area, and the new site was chosen as the optimum location to cover the area more efficiently. Work started on August the 17th on a dual-purpose flood prevention scheme in Sidmouth, which will double up as an amphitheatre. The £550,000 project is thought to be the first of its kind in the UK, and as well as protecting more than 100 homes and businesses around the Knoll area, it will serve as an amenity area for the local community. Initially, Drainage will be installed on Station Road to divert surface water away from properties. Once collected, the water will run down a wildflower-lined swale into an amphitheatre in the grounds of the Knoll. The work is due to be completed by November.
Turning now to the news from Axminster. Two local businessmen, Ian Stiles, the managing director of Axminster Property, new owners of the town's biggest store, Trinity House, and brother Bernie Stiles, formerly boss of Axminster Tools, raised £3,000 for epilepsy research and the Mountjoy Special School at Beamster after completing the 800-kilometre Santiago de Compostela pilgrimage across northern Spain. A fire at Waycroft Manor, a Grade 1 listed building near Axminster, caused by a faulty electric heater, caused 80% damage to the roof and 30% damage to the first floor at the end of March. On a lighter note, a kookaburra was spotted resting on a fence in Musbury, some distance from his native home, 12,000 miles away in Australia. The bird, which had escaped from the nearby Axe Valley Wildlife Park, returned home none the worse for his adventures on Easter Sunday. It had apparently survived on a diet of frogs. Annie Young is to continue as mayor of Axminster for a further year. In May, she was re-elected unopposed. Councillor Jill Farrow was unanimously elected as deputy mayor to succeed Dave Moore, who stood down for health reasons. Former Axminster Mayor Douglas Hull, one of East Devon's longest-serving councillors, died over the May bank holiday weekend. He served for 36 years on East Devon District Council and was vice-chairman of Devon County Council. He was made an honorary alderman of both authorities. He served three terms as mayor of Axminster. He was cremated at Wimpole on June the 12th, the hearse having stopped briefly at the Minster and the Guildhall, where mourners paid their last respects. The search has now begun for a suitable site in Axminster to create a memorial garden to honour Mr. Hull. Also in May, a warning was issued by police after a group of teenagers with a dog chased a heavily pregnant cow at White Bridges in Axminster. The unborn calf died as a result. During the following week, a second report was received of teenagers chasing cows in a field on Castle Hill. A pair of replica cannons, believed to have been used in the blockbuster movie Pirates of the Caribbean, were stolen from a farm at Dalwood sometime between May the 28th and June the 1st. The 1.5-ton cannons are worth about £5,000. Funding has been secured for a pedestrian crossing on Lime Road, close to St Mary's Roman Catholic Primary School, where the school crossing patrol currently operates. County Councillor Ian Hall said he hoped the work can be completed in September. A major new book was published detailing events during the past three centuries which helped shape the way Axminster is today. It's written by Heritage Centre volunteer David Knapman, and includes many stories that were omitted from earlier histories of the town. Attention's not only paid to how Axminster fared during this period, but also to the social and economic progress made by other nearby towns, in particular Honiton, Chard and Bridport. On June the 23rd, police were called to an address in Kilmington following reports of a disturbance. Armed police and a police helicopter then searched the Axminster area, following which a 35-year-old Charmouth man was arrested on suspicion of possessing a firearm with intent to cause violence and dangerous driving. Two men aged 18 and 42 from Axminster were also arrested on suspicion of possessing a firearm. More than 80 people gathered on the Minster Green on July the 4th to support the Black Lives Matter movement. The peaceful demonstration marked the launch of a local group which aims to raise awareness of racism in communities. The group will provide a platform for like-minded people to share learning and ideas about supporting the black and ethnic minority community and instigating wider discussion about racism with all age groups. A further demonstration was held on August the 8th. Totally Locally Axminster is continuing its mission to keep the town centre looking vibrant. Members of the traders group filled a number of shop premises with posters provided by Axminster Heritage Centre. Devon County councillors have backed proposals that could see a 60-mile-an-hour speed limit cut to 30 miles an hour on the A358 from near the football ground in Tiger Way to Waycroft Bridge. They agreed unanimously on July the 10th that the Speed Compliance Action Review Forum should investigate. In July, Axminster farmer James Bull was jailed for 8.5 months at Exeter Crown Court after admitting assault causing actual bodily harm and 3 breaches of a non-molestation order. He had deliberately barged his ex-girlfriend into a brook, having previously twice broken a court order to stay away from the centre of Hemiock. An Axminster family donated £535 to Mrs. Ethelston's primary school in Uplime to provide specialist training for teachers so that they can support children with autism. Zishan Adamson-Drage and her husband Matt raised the money through a crowdfunding appeal. Their 9-year-old son, Jacob, who has Autism Spectrum Disorder, ASD, attends the school. The money will help fund ASD awareness training and give staff a practical toolkit to aid teaching methods. This should help ASD children to realise their full potential.
Plans for a new micropub in the centre of Axminster have been approved by EDDC's planning committee, subject to certain safety concerns being overcome. The disused shop in Chard Street has been empty since September 2019, and most recently was a woman's clothing store. Councillors heard that the micropub plans would provide an active use for the vacant building. An Axminster man who ran an unofficial drugs hostel was caught with heroin and a fake gun when police raided his home. Martin Redford, aged 44, of Poplar Mount, Axminster, admitted supplying heroin and possession of an imitation firearm. In July, he was jailed for 12 months, suspended for 2 years, and ordered to do 100 hours unpaid community work and 10 days of rehabilitation activities. Gould's Pumps is to close its Axminster factory with the loss of around 50 local jobs. Work carried out at the plant on the Millway Rise industrial estate is transferring to the global company's factory in Germany. Bosses say that every effort will be made to help those staff made redundant to find new jobs. A small number will move to work at the German factory. The company said the transfer of work will be complete by the end of the year. Axminster's flamingo pool team launched a supporters or losers campaign after recording losses of some £50,000 during lockdown. A statement on the pool's website said that despite measures to save whatever costs it could, the enforced closure had hit them extremely hard financially. A spokeswoman said, "We have been blown away by an incredible response and by the generosity of the community, and would like to say a massive thank you to all who have donated." The pool reopened on August the 24th. The Axe Valley Mission Community's new team vicar has been licensed along with 2 associate priests by the Bishop of Crediton, Jackie Searle, at a service in the Minster Church. The Reverend Nicky Davies has come from the Avon Valley Group of churches on the western edge of the New Forest. She will be responsible for coordinating work with children, young people and families. She will be living in Uplime. The Reverend Kate Edmonds has been working with the 8 churches of the mission community for some time. She's also the rural dean of Honiton, whilst the Reverend Shuna George has also been working with the team for a while. Now the news from Colleton. Over 400 fish died following a major pollution incident near Colleton at the beginning of May. A local farmer reported the loss of 100,000 litres of slurry from a storage tank, much of which entered the Southlea stream, a tributary of the rivers Coley and Axe. The Environment Agency said it could take 2 years for the waterway to recover. District Councillor Paul Arnott said that the pollution is especially bad in a stretch as far as Unbourne Bridge and down past the playing fields. The river is contaminated with pathogens and algae growth and is a genuine risk to public health. Outline planning permission to build 74 new homes on the former Ceramtech factory site in Sidmouth Road, Colleton, has been granted. There will be a mix of 1, 2 and 3 bed apartments and houses of a high quality design and a new public green space. The existing office building will be retained and there is potential for another new employment building to be served by 43 car parking spaces. Wild animals were spotted around Colleton in June, but there is no need for alarm. They had all been made by parents and pupils as part of Colleton Primary School's Let's Go on a Safari Week. Creations ranged from crocodiles and snakes to exotic birds and towering giraffes. A 10-year-old Colleton girl, Imogen Watkiss, raised £1,000 for the Little Princess Trust and Biff's Battle. She had 11 inches cut off her hair, which will be made into wigs for children receiving cancer treatment. Emergency repairs were carried out to Colleton Parish Church at the end of June, which required a steeplejack to replace a finial on a pinnacle at St Andrew's. It had come down during bad weather some time ago and shattered when it hit the roof. The steeplejack was roped to the top of the church's lantern tower and accessed the pinnacle by climbing out onto the gallery just above the clock face. Colleton Pharmacy's shop manager, Christine Jones, is retiring after working in the pharmacy for some 50 years. It was her first and last job, and she says she has enjoyed every minute of it. Mrs. Jones, whose husband Keith is a retired Colleton firefighter and former parish councillor, had intended to travel after she retires, but lockdown restrictions have put that on hold for a while. Hopefully next year, she said. And a few items from Beer. Plans to build 30 homes on land adjacent to Short Furlong in Beer received the go-ahead. Up to 40% will be affordable housing, and an application by the Beer Community Land Trust to demolish the old social club at Berry Hill and build 6 affordable homes was approved unanimously by EDDC's planning committee. In May, one of Beer's oldest residents, George Bastone, was given a day to remember by the village to celebrate his 100th birthday. George was born in Beer and has lived in his home for 70 years. He served with the Devonshire Regiment in Burma during World War II and afterwards worked as a butcher in Beer for most of his working life. Pecorama is to remain closed for the rest of the 2020 season. A spokesman said that after considering the safety implications, estimating the potential income, and taking into account of the complications arising from part of the site's use for manufacturing, it was seen as not being sensible to try to open.
Moving now to the Honiton news. You'll probably recall that just before we decided to stop recording, the Exeter-based airline Flybe went into administration. Shortly afterwards, the Honiton Chamber of Commerce chairman, Tony McCullum, warned that the airline's closure and loss of thousands of jobs at Exeter Airport could have a long-term detrimental influence on the location and development of new and existing businesses in Honiton. Then, the accidental vegan cafe, which had secured planning permission to move into the former tourist information centre in Lace Walk car park, announced it would cease trading in May. Owner Petra Bite revealed that her husband, who had been employed by Flybe for almost 20 years, had lost his job. The structure of Honiton Town Council will remain as it is, after a petition to dissolve the authority failed to produce the desired result for those who signed it. A heated council meeting on March the 11th saw two councillors, brothers Nathan and Jason Hannay, resign on the spot, and ended with Chairman John Zarchinski using his casting vote to reject the proposal. That councillors should be asked to resign and seek re-election should they choose to do so. Subsequently, Councillor Duncan Sheridan Shaw resigned, saying his way of seeing things was in opposition to other leading council members. Three more resignations from the council were announced in early June, leaving seven vacancies out of 18 positions. James Wyatt resigned, citing bullying and harassment allegations, which were vigorously rejected by Mr. Zarchinski. Councillors Ray Hanratty and Terry Darrant also quit. By-elections will be held next May for seats in the St. Paul's and St. Michael's wards. The Town Council meeting on July the 13th voted in Carol Gilson as the new Deputy Mayor. In August, it was announced that a new group had been launched by members of the Honiton community with a stated goal of working towards a strong vision for the future of the town. Honiton Forward is backed by former town council members who say they're working to revitalise the council. They say they are dedicated to ensuring that Honiton is an inclusive community where everyone will want to live and work. The group are asking for current councillors to resign and trigger a contested election. Aldi announced plans to increase the size of its store and car park. A new pedestrian crossing and path would also be created, linking the reconfigured car park to the store. And a new neighbourhood beat sergeant joined Honiton's policing ranks. Roy Hutter has police communities across East Devon for the last 16 years, including heading up local policing teams in Seaton. In April, news came of the closure of Bartlett's Farm Shop in Hayne Lane after 10 years serving the local community. Better news came with the opening of Coombe Farm Shop on the same premises in July. The shop will sell fresh vegetables, fruit, dairy and other local products alongside a butchery counter. Planning permission was sought to build 9 holiday lodges in the grounds of the Hare and Hounds Inn at Putt's Corner between Sidbury and Honiton. The lodges would have a rustic appearance with a natural timber cladding finish. First Honiton Scout Group contributed to a world record for camping at home. More than 84,000 participants from 67 countries, including Canada, Australia, the USA, Croatia and Malawi, took part. Buckerell Amateur Theatre Society donated £300 to hospice care, 12 years after the curtain fell on its last performance. The Society discovered it had money still sitting in its account, and in view of the serious cash shortfall faced by Exeter and East Devon hospice care because of the lockdown, decided to donate the money. Devon Freewheelers received a £1,000 donation as part of the Movement for Goods Award, set up by specialist insurer Ecclesiastical and voted for by local residents. In June, a man was jailed for 22 months after police found nearly £40,000 worth of drugs cash when they stopped a van he was driving near Honiton. James Whiteman of Welwyn Garden City admitted possession of criminal property, which police believe was the proceeds of a County Lines drug dealing operation being run in Exeter or East Devon. Honiton Lions have introduced a message in a bottle scheme to provide emergency services who attend an accident or sudden illness in the home with essential personal and medical details. David Rickard of the Lions said, "It would be advisable for anyone with health problems, especially elderly citizens living alone, to participate in the scheme, which is free and designed to benefit those with life-threatening medical conditions. For details, call 0845 833 7843. The trial of an Italian man, Luigi Parmas, who is accused of murdering a woman at Coombe Farm, Gittersham in January, has been postponed because the coronavirus crisis has caused delays in obtaining medical notes from Italy.
The Beehive Centre asked for public support and government funding in a bid to ensure that it stays open. Like many charities across the nation, it's been hard hit by the pandemic and was forced to close its doors in March. The Beehive's Chair of Directors, Serena Sexton, said the centre had relied on customers coming in to see the cinema and live gigs and hiring the room. All of that went at a stroke, and staff had to be furloughed. She added that the Beehive had previously had quite a battle with the Town Council in terms of payment, but the relationship had improved and the council's support was critical. The centre needed £40,000 to £45,000 worth of funding to ensure its survival until the situation returns to normal, and is asking for a mixture of government and public funding. A town council meeting on August the 10th committed to keeping the Beehive open if the charity currently running it were to go out of business. A cleaner from Honiton was cleared of historic sexual abuse charges in the first jury trial to be held at Exeter Crown Court since the start of the pandemic. Kevin Lovelace Parker of Queen Street was cleared of 6 counts of indecent assault against a young girl, which dated back to the 1990s. Alex Tapp of Orliscombe near Honiton, who needed to be airlifted to hospital by Devonair Ambulance after a straw bale fell on him 20 years ago, donated £1,000 from the sale of his tractor to Devonair Ambulance. Our next port of call is Seaton. Back in March, 5 more vitally needed affordable homes were provided by Baker Estates, in addition to the 9 that they provided in the town last year. Baker Estates have also made available over £180,000 as a direct contribution to building works at Seaton Primary School and for transport for Axe Valley Community College. A local businesswoman donated a life-saving defibrillator as a way of giving something back to the Seaton community. Rose Bunce, an award-winning weight loss coach, has provided the emergency kit, which has been installed outside Pebbles Cafe in Marine Place. But some worrying news from Seaton was that the visually impaired club's future looks uncertain. The club has been closed since the outbreak of coronavirus, and the group also faces a manpower crisis. Retiring chairman Terry Grimsley said that the club is desperate to find a new chairman and other helpers to enable it to continue to flourish. A bungalow in Scalwell Lane was severely damaged by fire on April the 15th. Firefighters from Seaton, Colliton and an aerial ladder platform from Exeter tackled a well-developed fire. No one was hurt. Local charities and organisations are set to receive more than £31,000 between them in donations following this year's Grizzly event, which started and finished in Seaton. More than 2,000 runners completed either the 20-mile Grizzly or the 9-mile Cub race. The total amount raised by this event since its inception in 1988 is more than £450,000. A new code of conduct for fossil hunters along the Axmouth to Lyme Regis stretch of the Jurassic Coast was drawn up. It encourages safe and responsible practice and reminds collectors of the legislation applying to sites of special scientific interest, under which people can be fined for damaging the environment. This could mean digging or chipping a fossil out of its surroundings rather than picking one up from the beach. Seton Coronavirus Community Group delivered more than 150 books, donated by the Lions Club and Gateway Theatre, to local care and residential homes. Seton VE Day 2020 Group placed flags and bunting around the town centre and arranged a competition for the best-dressed stay-at-home party, whilst Regini's Restaurant donated proceeds from the first 75 VE Day special meals to the food bank, a total of £750. On June 2nd, a horse was rescued by Seton firefighters and a specialist rescue crew from Exmouth after it became stuck in an old sunken muck heap in the Axmouth area. Residents and staff at Dove Court Care Home took up the Alzheimer Society Jog On Dementia Challenge to walk or jog 26.2 miles over a set period of time. Six residents took part in a relay over 5 days to complete the distance by doing a series of lengths on their patio. They raised £800 for the Alzheimer Society. Even a dislocated collarbone could not stop Seton woman Liz Slade from getting on her bike to raise money for cancer charity. Liz, a legal secretary in Axminster, had been looking forward to taking part in this year's Force Cancer Charity Nello cycle ride across Devon. But on a training ride in April, she hit a pothole going downhill at 20 miles an hour, flew over the handlebars, landed heavily, and seriously dislocated her clavicle. The Nello, Force's biggest annual fundraiser, has now been postponed because of the pandemic, so cyclists were invited to complete virtual rides. Liz signed up for the furloughed flyer and completed 25 miles on a turbo trainer wearing a sling.
The owner of Manor House Care Home in Seton, Sue Curry, organised a scarecrow competition for care homes across the Axe Valley. It was part of a campaign to lift people's spirits during the pandemic. Most of the care homes in Seton took part, as well as others in Colleton, Musbury and Sidmouth. It was judged by Seton Town Council members on July 3rd, when Netherhays Care Home in Fore Street was declared the winner. Axmouth Parish Council called for larger signs warning people not to risk their lives by tombstoning from the harbour walls. Members agreed to ask the harbour master to address the situation following an incident in June when a young man was taken to hospital after jumping into the water and being washed out to sea. Two prominent members of the town council resigned in July: Martin Shaw, who also represented Colleton, and former Mayor Jack Rowland stepped down, leaving 5 vacant seats on the council. A spokeswoman said that their decision to resign was due to their very extensive commitments as Devon County and East Devon District councillors. Seton's Royal Clarence Apartments, a landmark building in the town centre, has been restored following the devastating arson attack in December 2018, which caused at least £310,000 worth of damage and left residents homeless. 13 of the 15 flats are now available to rent again. Each unit has been given a new kitchen and bathroom. The heating has been upgraded to state-of-the-art electric heaters, and the flooring has been replaced. Seaton looks set to be recognised as one of Britain's first towns with near zero retail food waste. Save Food Hub was set up in March to collect surplus food from local supermarkets and volunteers recently, collecting their 4,000th item of food, which would otherwise have been binned. The hub has expanded rapidly and now makes over 20 collections each week. A lot of the food collected goes to food banks in Seaton and Axminster. 11 new wildlife-themed sculptures have been installed around the Seaton Wetlands Nature Reserve, and visitors are invited to navigate the nature trail to try to spot them. Skilled craftsmen created the sculptures out of natural materials, such as willow and wood. The sculptures include a hare, a snail, deer, and dragonflies. We head now to Newton Poppleford. The trial of Mr. Lewis Finch, formerly of Exmouth, accused of murdering scrap dealer Geoffrey Pierce in a burnt-out caravan in Newton Poppleford, has been postponed until this month as a result of the lockdown. Land originally earmarked for a new doctor's surgery in King Alfred Way has been put up for sale, with planning permission to build two homes on the site at a guide price of £250,000. The land was the subject of controversy last year when Clinton Devon Estates sought permission to build a GP practice as part of a wider application for a 40-home development. A petition started by Councillor Val Ranger to repair Red Bridge in Hartford has gathered over 1,000 votes. Councillor Ranger has been told by DCC that if repairs are not completed by September, the bridge will have to close for safety reasons. The petition aims to demonstrate to the council that there is sufficient community support to merit spending money on the bridge, which is part of the East Devon Way, a 40-mile walking route that runs from Exmouth to Lyme Regis. And here's the Ottery St Mary news. A service to celebrate the life of former Ottery Town Council Chairman Graham Hembury had to be postponed because of the coronavirus. Mr Hembury served on the council for 12 years. He was also involved in many activities in Tipton St John, including launching the Tipton Times, and was an active member and church warden of Tipton and Ven Ottery churches. A former teacher and one-time Ottery resident, Simon Anderson, who was found with 40,000 child abuse images on 6 computers, was ordered to do 30 days of rehabilitation activities under a 2-year community order at Exeter Crown Court. Plans to build a new drive-through McDonald's as part of a new services near Daisy Mount Roundabout were rejected by EDDC's Development Management Committee, primarily because of its position would cause a significant increase in traffic on local roads and have a detrimental impact on the rural landscape. EDDC have granted permission to the owner of a converted coach house in Alphington for the building to continue to be used for bed and breakfast accommodation, despite a recommendation for refusal because of a dangerous junction nearby. On June the 1st, Ottery elected its first female mayor. Vicky Johns has been a town councillor since May 2019 and represents the parish on EDDC. Councillor Stuart Lucas was elected as deputy mayor. Councillor John said the most important part of her role is to listen to people and be a spokesman for the town. She added that many people felt that local issues were being ignored. New speed limits, better traffic management, and a network of cycle paths have been proposed for Ottery. The Town Council considered a report from Councillor Dean Stewart on June the 15th. Proposals include a 20 mile per hour limit throughout the town, with a 30-mile-per-hour limit or 40-mile-per-hour limit restriction on most lanes to outlying villages. Another idea is to widen the pathways around Broad Street by planters and to create a physical barrier and to improve its appearance. Among the proposed routes for walkers and cyclists is a shared path from the town towards Otter Nursery and improvements to the route along a section of the old Hertford railway line.
£10,000 has been made available by the Town Council to repair and improve shops and business premises with a maximum of £500 per business if businesses at least match fund the donation. Meanwhile, 8 jobs are being created by opening a new Argos branch inside Sainsbury's. Tar Barrels and the Ottery Carnival could go ahead this year thanks to a grant of £7,500 from the Town Council. Event Director Ashley Franks said that one or both events could happen depending on government guidelines at the time and advice from East Devon District Council and the emergency services. He accepted that social distancing rules could make Tar Barrels difficult to stage, but added that a carnival would be easier to control. The shortfall in income during lockdown had been more than made up for by the council's fantastic grant, he said. Around 80 people attended a farewell service on July the 19th for the vicar of Ottery Parish Church, the Reverend Stephen Weston. He's retiring to Bigbury-on-Sea in the South Hams with his wife Kathy after 7.5 years at the church. He said he'd enjoyed his time in Ottery, which he described as a lovely experience for him and his family. Reverend Weston said his proudest achievement during that time had been working with other Ottery churches to enable a family of Syrian refugees to come to live in the town. Plans for a new school in Ottery to replace Tipton St John Primary have been submitted to East Devon District Council. The outline application is for a £7.2 million school for 210 pupils at the Thorne Farm site owned by Devon County Council on the outskirts of the town. The application also includes up to 150 homes on the site to help pay for the school. Devon County Council said the school was badly needed to replace the existing Tipton Primary, which is in a flood risk area and has no capacity for new pupils. The majority of pupils at the school come from Ottery, and that figure is expected to rise. The plans have attracted dozens of responses, most of them negative. Objectors say the Ottery and West Hill neighbourhood plan safeguards part of the site for educational and community development, but does not support housing. Other concerns include the effect on Tipton if its school is lost. Two Ottery sisters have made it through to the finals of Miss Teen Great Britain 2020. Maddie Davis, 17, and her 13-year-old sister Olivia will appear in the national finals at the Globe Theatre, Blackpool, in October. Both girls have worked hard raising money for the event's chosen charity, Together for Short Lives, which supports children with life-threatening and life-limiting conditions. In August, it was announced that the wild beaver colony on the River Otter will be allowed to stay permanently. DEFRA's decision has been described by the Devon Wildlife Trust as the most groundbreaking government decision for England's wildlife for a generation. The Trust hopes the successful trial will pave the way for beavers to be reintroduced in other parts of the country. A tribute has been paid to a much-loved former King's School music teacher who died on August the 4th, surrounded by her family, following a short battle with cancer. Sue Stock taught at the school for more than 2 decades. Head teacher Rob Gammon said she touched many lives with her musical talent and energy. Mrs. Stock was also principal cellist in the National Scout and Guide Symphony Orchestra of Great Britain. District councillors are being asked to approve grant funding for the campaign to commemorate Ottery's most famous son, Samuel Taylor Coleridge, with a statue. It's hoped to have a statue in place by October 2022, the 250th anniversary of the Romantic poet's birth. The total cost to the Coleridge Memorial Trust is £80,000, and by the end of August, some £43,000 had been raised, including £13,000 through a crowdfunding campaign. And now, some general items from around East Devon. Exmouth Air Radio was granted permission by Ofcom to extend its service on 95 FM to listeners across the Sid Valley. Station manager Andy Green said the station had received letters of support from Sid Valley residents who regularly listen online, and they welcome the opportunity to receive the station on FM too. He added, "There's no big mast needed, just a small low-powered aerial on an existing building." East Devon District Council made £46,000 available to organisations who support residents in food poverty during the pandemic. Among those organisations to have already received donations are Honiton's TRIP Community Transport Association and 55 Plus Centre, £1,800 each, and Axminster Food Bank and Nourish Axminster, who have both received £1,000. An NHS Nightingale Hospital has been built at the former home base site in Moor Lane, Exeter. Health Secretary Matt Hancock subsequently announced that the hospital will be converted into a cancer testing centre from the 6th of July. A CT scanner will see more than 2,000 patients within a 12-week period, targeting those with the longest waiting times across Devon and Cornwall. Later in July, it was confirmed that the hospital would be given a new injection of cash to prepare it for a second wave of coronavirus should it happen in the autumn. The hospital is expected to remain in operation until at least April next year.
In May, the leader of EDDC, Councillor Ben Ingham, and his cabinet of independent group councillors resigned with immediate effect. The resignations follow the defection of 8 district councillors from the ruling independent group. 7 of the group formed a new independent progressive group, while the 8th has joined the Democratic Alliance. Councillor Ingham said, "I've done my very best to make our council as fit to serve our communities as possible. We created a superb 4-year council plan which received the Platinum Award for Investors in People, something only a very select number of other councils in the country have achieved." Councillor Ingham was succeeded as council leader by Councillor Paul Arnott, leader of the Democratic Alliance. Councillor Ingham subsequently rejoined the Conservative Party, saying he was left with no choice if he wanted to make a difference. Councillor Arnott's appointment was immediately followed on June the 1st by the resignation of the council's chairman, Councillor Stuart Hughes, who said he had no wish to continue or be considered for a second term of office as civic head of a council seemingly set on a deliberate downward spiral. Councillor Arnott described Councillor Hughes' resignation as a relief. On June the 8th, Independent East Devon Alliance Councillor Dr. Cathy Gardner was elected unopposed to succeed Councillor Hughes as chairman. Public spaces protection orders to control dogs and stop the feeding of gulls were extended for a further 3 years by East Devon District Council. A third order to control antisocial behaviour and excess drinking in the centres of Sidmouth and Exmouth has also been renewed. A toolkit leaflet for older people suffering in abusive relationships was launched in the South West on June the 15th. It was released to coincide with World Elder Abuse Awareness Day. Its aim is to help people in abusive and unhealthy relationships to recognise the abuse and be aware that options will improve their safety. Patient experience platform data revealed that NHS patient satisfaction in the South West has hit 91%, a year-on-year increase of nearly 13%. It's the highest regional satisfaction rate in the country. The environmental charity Keep Britain Tidy has ranked Sidmouth and Exmouth beaches amongst the best in the country. Both have been awarded a Blue Flag Award, presented for beach management and water quality. It's the first time Sidmouth has won the award since the 1990s. Seaton and Budleigh Salterton both received Seaside Awards to celebrate the quality and diversity of their coastline. A record amount of recycling has put pressure on the curbside collection teams in East Devon. The amount of cardboard recycled in Devon since lockdown began more than doubled to 526 tonnes per month. And to help the situation, extra collection vehicles have been deployed just to collect cardboard. Residents are asked to be patient if on occasion cardboard may have been left behind. Local MPs have given their support to a proposal which would see the creation of a Devon Metro train service. The Devon Metro would be an hourly Axminster to Exeter St David service calling at all stations and could be extended to Barnstaple. The proposal comes as part of Network Rail's plan for improvements to the Exeter to Waterloo line, which currently receives regular complaints of overcrowding. The plan would also see an extension of the Honiton loop westward for up to 3 kilometres and a new loop in the Wimpole and Cranbrook area. The plan will need government approval, and both of our MPs are contacting the Secretary of State for Transport. On August the 20th, EDDC voted by 33 votes to 22 to withdraw officially from the Greater Exeter Strategic Plan. The plan is due to provide a major blueprint for the development of the region. Council leader Paul Arnott said that what was needed was genuine consultation about residents' wants and needs in terms of transport infrastructure, green homes, economic initiatives, and so on. EDDC will continue to cooperate with neighbouring councils and begin the process to renew the local plan. And we bring today's recording to a close on a rather poignant note with news that the newspaper's former secretary and coordinator, Marilyn Thomas, who died of cancer in January, has been honoured with the Order of St John, which recognises tissue donors. Marilyn's corneas have been transplanted into a 72-year-old man and 83-year-old woman. Her husband, our chairman Hayden Thomas, said, "It's wonderful to know that a part of Marilyn is still in the world and helping people to see." And there we are. 6 months' news condensed into about an hour or so. One update on the Ottery news that we gave to you. We've heard since I put this piece together that Tar Barrels has now, unfortunately, been cancelled. Anyway, we're grateful as always to the editors of the newspapers whose material we've drawn upon today. They're the Sidmouth, Ottery and Midweek Heralds and the Express and Echo. My thanks go to my colleagues in the studio today, Annette, Paula, Dawn and Peter, and to Wendy and Linda, who registered, sanitised and prepared the yellow pouches this morning, ready for sending you this edition. A reminder that if you have any problems with your equipment or any other queries about the Talking Newspaper, please contact our registrar, Wendy, on 07552 766 382. And she'll be pleased to help. And I ought to mention too that our new website is now operating, where, amongst other things, you will find a text-to-speech facility to enable you to listen to our news recordings if you prefer to do so. Ian Skinner and his team will hopefully be in action next week when we shall return to our usual weekly roundup of local news. In the meantime, stay safe and well, and for now, it's goodbye from us all. Goodbye.
Bye.